All right, welcome back to this week's edition of 10 Minute TikTok. I'm your host, Michael Brinkman from the Ultimate Toolkit. I'm here today excited to talk to this guest. We have Packy Moran, a lecturer at the University of Iowa Sport and Rec Management Program. Welcome today, Packy.
Thanks, Michael. I'm really glad to be here.
Well, let's jump right in. I want to talk a little bit about your program because not everybody, you know, we're talking to a lot of team side people here, but can you just give us kind of an update on how many students you have and what you guys really try to dive into there at the University of Iowa?
Sure. We are a relatively big program. We have just over 500 undergraduate majors. We have another 150 minors. And then we also have some certificate seekers in event management and interscholastic. Athletic and activity directing. And then we have, currently we have between 35 and 40 grad students as well in an 18-month master's program in sport and recreation management. So we are busy. We are a teaching-focused program. Our motto is student-focused, industry-centered, focused. We really try to help students discover their talents and how they can put that into working in the sport industry, whether that's at a high school, at a municipal level, in a parks and recreation office, in a pro or spectator-driven scenario, like a lot of, I assume, your listeners are, whether that's college or professional sport, or if that's in some other way, whether that's, analytics or, preparing them to go on to grad school. But primarily, we are a practitioner-focused program where these kids are going to go to work in the sports industry.
Absolutely. And you mentioned analytics and, you know, obviously there's a lot of new types of roles out there in the sports world today, but what would you say in general kind of drives your student interest? Like, what are they wanting to be a part of and get into when it comes to the sports world?
You know, 75% is probably high, but I'll use it as a number. Most of our kids come in from the Chicagoland area, if they're not from the state of Iowa, and they all want the job that Theo Epstein just left. They come in and they want to be GM of the Cubs. And it's our job to pry like the jaws of life open their perspective as to what working in sports means, so that they can see that they can have conversations about sports all day and get paid for it. And the best way and the easiest way to do that is to have revenue generating conversations about sports, whether that's selling tickets or selling sponsorships or servicing tickets. So it's primarily a love of sports that brings students in, but we want to help them translate that, help them direct that, help them channel that love of sport and match that with a professional aptitude to go and make a difference in the sports industry, whether that's helping people create lifelong memories, or whether that's, putting together a group of people to help bankroll a championship, which is always special, or just help people create the opportunity to do more business in their community, which is what spectator sports is all about. So, being that community, we want them to know that it's a community enterprise, and that there's a role for that in them, even if they can't dunk or run a 4.340.
Let's touch on, you mentioned the revenue side too. Obviously, the challenging spot that we're in right now in the industry, it's becoming more and more apparent to everybody that obviously revenue matters in sports. And I know that's kind of how I got into it myself on the industry side. But how do you view sports, or excuse me, sales there and revenue in your program, and how are you trying to kind of, get the students up to speed on that currently?
Yeah, well, I don't know that we're unique anymore, but we do have a required sales course in our curriculum. One thing that is unique about our sales class is how it's positioned in sort of the rotation of our major. Our sales class is not one that you have to have had 30 hours of previous experience in the university in order to take. So I get a lot of sophomores and juniors taking the course. And I like that because it really allows me to set the idea that sport is, the revenue function of sport is at the heart of it, right? That it is a business, that you do have to, that nobody's just, even a local soccer club or a local futsal organization can't just survive on the passion for the game. There's got to be, you know, just like my fandom for the Cincinnati Bengals doesn't keep the lights on in my house, it doesn't keep the lights on in Paul Brown Stadium either, right? I've got to buy NFL Sunday ticket to for 1/33 of that to go to the Bengals in order for them to keep the lights on at Paul Brown Stadium. So, you know, understanding that the monetization, understanding how to manage for the monetization, and then understanding how they can be a part of it in terms of the sale, and finding the sale and having conversations that lead to sales, because people want to be a part of something they love, right? People want to be part of these community assets that they put so much stock and trade emotionally into. And so it's just about finding the right combination. I have loved a ton of the creativity that's come from revenue departments with COVID-19. You know, I just got I started my undergrad career at George Washington University, and I just got an email from GW Athletics with the coolest pack. Like, I can't wait to have the conversation with my wife to see whether or not I'm going to be able to buy this, right? Because it's really, really cool in terms of the supporters pack that they have, and they're phasing
it. What was it they were doing?
They're calling it the Suite Life, right? I don't know if Zach and Cody of the Disney Channel are going to charge them for that or not, but an at-home kit, you get a scarf, you get a hat, you get a pair of socks, and then they send you a game day kit in January, which has like a foam finger and a tricorn hat, which is huge for the GW Colonials, of course. But they're reaching out, they're doing that stuff. And then if you buy at a certain level, they'll put up a cutout in a seat for you. You know, I love it. I love the creativity and you know, you see the good organizations doing that, doing more stuff. You know, and we tell students all the time, keep an eye on who's doing stuff that lights your fire, that trips your trigger, you know. And, you know, between stuff in the Northwoods League, with Big Top Entertainment, or you know, stuff in the Coastal Plains League, the Bacon and Egg series. I mean, come on, right? Like, you can tell that you want to be involved in an organization because they adapt and they overcome and they understand that not only do they have a revenue need that they need to keep going, but that the way through that revenue is to build the community, is to build the community asset and deliver that community asset through sales conversations, through conversations that lead to people being able to support. You know, circling back to the start of your question, we try to do that early in the cycle of an undergrad student. In some ways, it's frustrating because there is a language to sales and they tend not to be able to practice it. But our best students start practicing it in internships, and then they continue to interview, and they're constantly talking to you know, sales people in organizations that they're interested in. And by the end of their 4 years or however long they spend with us, you know, they've got a couple of experiences and they're ready to roll.
And we don't have to go too in depth on this question, but does sales intimidate students today?
Absolutely. Picking up the phone, right? And you know, there's that huge divide, right, in sales today. Is the phone dead or is it not dead, right? And we're going to be talking about it. You know, we're talking about it over Zoom, right? Like, the conversations, you can't have, you can't expect to build a real-time experience in an asynchronous synchronous conversation. Now I'm making air quotes around conversation, right? they've got to be ready for that. And they're not comfortable with it from their lives as previous generations may have been. And this is not a knock at all on Gen Z. But where the connection comes in is when they realize that being together in real time has power. And COVID-19 has been a good example of that as well. And so when they realize that there's got to be this this synchronous and immediate interchange of information in order to get to that, right? Especially with a relationship beyond a single game ticket. Yes, that's the most intimidating point for them. It's not being told no. These kids have been told no most of their lives. Millennials and Gen Z together have been told no more than any other generation. And they're going to continue to told no. That's not the problem. The problem is the synchronous nature of making calls and using text. But they're brilliant at it. They're born into it, right? They're Bane. They are tech natives, and that's only going to continue to improve our process.
Great. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So as far as you're aware, and I've always kind of been curious about this, but do sports management programs and university ticket sales departments ever work together? Is that a thing that can happen, or what does that scenario look like?
It can happen, but it's rare because of some of the structural issues, right? The CRMs, the silver bullet that we talk about in the Ultimate Toolkit, the silver bullet is really precious, right? And that's what the Lone Ranger talked about, right? It should be as precious as lives. And so there's a lot of hesitancy for programs, for intercollegiate athletics programs to allow access to the CRM. It's also structurally very difficult in terms of fairness of relationship, in terms of compensation, compensating students with whether it's a commission or whether they need to sell a certain amount in order to make a grade, right? Because as we all know, it's not necessarily effort that just leads to sales. It's effort plus prospecting plus luck, right? Plus timing. And so it doesn't necessarily match up didactically perfectly. So there have been people who have done it really well. NASCAR is about to launch a program that I think is going to be really cool. But now we're talking about a single event instead of, a season of event that takes a whole bunch of service. And so it has worked well. Todd Kesters has been really good at it down at the University of South Carolina. There have been other people, Dr. Wakefield, who's now back at Baylor, who was at Mercer. There have been elements of success. Dave Pierce had a great thing going at Ball State with the Fort Wayne Tin Caps. There have been relationships, but it really does take the right partner, and the college athletic departments have been much more difficult partners than minor league or other professional partners.
Well, I just got to say too, just hearing you talk to, and I've known you for a number of years, but you should be proud of the program you built there. I mean, it's, you really have done your work with being creative and knowing the industry. And I mean, you've mentioned a number of scenarios on this call and people you know and things like that, that you're bringing to your students. And that's a big piece of what makes it successful. So, and speaking of which, let's wrap up with that one last question here, but how do you define success for your students?
Yeah, that's a great question. We define success for our students as them leaving our program with a better understanding of what role they want sport to play in their lives. They understanding that there are certain sacrifices that they're going to have to make if they want sport to be their profession, but understanding that sport can be a part of their lives, whether it's their professional 9-to-5 life or whether they're the best informed season ticket holder for their favorite team.
That's a great answer. Well, I appreciate the time here today. And I know we've been working closely with you guys on the B2B program for your students, which has gone well. So look forward to keeping in touch with you. And thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks, Michael. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.